And now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade. But first, let's go visiting out in Evanston, Illinois. It was a busy Saturday morning in the home of the Leroy Stroms, one of the hundreds of families who recently helped test the new Sure Mix Crisco for cakes. A woman was at the door as young Corky Strom went tearing out of the house with his mother not far behind.
Corky Strom, you come back here. What do you mean by eating cake at this hour?
The young man seems to like cake.
Like it? Say, ever since that was... Why, you're the lady who gave me that new kind of shortening to try for cake.
That's right. Did you compare it with your regular cake shortening?
I certainly did. And do I apologize for not believing that new shortening could make my cakes taste better. Why, look at Corky there, and the other youngsters are just as bad. I put cake on the table for dessert, and it does a vanishing act. Kind of, now you see it, now you don't. But I really can't blame them. My cakes are so much lighter now and smoother in texture than they ever were before.
Yes, and that's the way your cakes will disappear when you use new Sure Mix Crisco. Why, hundreds of housewives from Massachusetts to California made that same independent test. Cakes made with Crisco were compared to those made with every other type of shortening. And when these women asked their families which cakes they liked best, they voted 4-1 for cakes made with Crisco over all the other shortenings combined. That's because Sure Mix Crisco is different from other shortenings. Thanks to a special patented process, Crisco now brings you 3 exclusive new cake-making advantages. 1, lighter cakes. 2, smoother textured cakes. 3, cakes that taste better than those you can make with any other home shortening we know of. So get Crisco today. And remember, it wasn't only 4-1 for lighter cakes, but 4-1 for flakier pastry. 4-1 for better-tasting fried foods. That was the family vote. 4-1 for new Sure Mix Crisco. Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and her son, Mr. Rush Gook. Sade occupies a corner of the Davenport darning socks, and young Rush applies himself without zeal to his algebra textbook at the library table. And now a voice from the kitchen is heard. Listen.
Hey, Gary, who's you?
I got a bone to pick with him.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hi. Greetings, Dr. Sleeps. Is your mother home, or is she downtown spending all my money?
Sitting right here on the Davenport.
That's fine. Tell her I dropped around the corner for a cigar, but I'm expected back in half an hour.
Okay. Better with this algebra's getting tough.
Hard problem?
Horrible. I think they're going a little too far when they ask an individual to extract the cube root of a number and then raise it to the 7th power and then construct
well,
the equation.
Well, say, isn't this Sadie Gook?
Hello.
It is Sadie Gook, isn't it?
Yeah.
I knew I'd seen that face someplace before. First, I thought it was Q.O. Dux or Dixon, but then I remembered he had whiskers. Then I figured it must be you.
I dug that old plaid suit out of the clothes closet and sent it to the cleaners like you asked me.
Good. What's the wear left in that plaid suit?
Rush, go out in the dining room and get what's on top of the buffet.
Uh-huh.
Why, Rush is here, too. Hello, Rush.
Oh.
I didn't see you. I guess you're so small and insignificant and unimportant and worthless.
Come along, Willie. It's a letter.
Okay.
Letter from Bess.
Oh, really? Walter's kneecap, I trust, is laid up on the fringes. Lucy, I'm convinced, is improving her technique on the pianoforte. The weather in Carberry, that
just
day is mild.
Just a little trivial letter from Bess in the month of August, 1937.
How do you mean, General Upspitch?
Dick, I'd be ashamed.
What for?
Know where I found Bess's letter?
No.
Inside coat pocket of your plaid suit.
Here?
It had never been opened.
Really?
It had never been opened.
Here you are, Mom.
Thank you.
Aunt Bess say anything about that big fire they had in Freeport?
Aunt Bess wrote this poor, miserable little letter almost 4 years ago.
Yeah?
Read the postmark.
Carberry, Illinois.
Read down below.
August, 1937.
August, 1937.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, kiddo, I remember how that was.
Do you?
Yes, yes.
Where's this been, Mom?
Upstairs in your father's clothes closet.
Yeah, I remember how that was. It was in the summertime. one afternoon. Me and Steve Chesbutter were walking home from the office. We stopped out in front of the house to chat a little bit. Steve went up the street, and I looked in the mailbox, and there was this letter from Beth. I was holding my hand, and Donahue hollered at me to come over in his front yard and look at some kind of buggy he found. Well, we looked at it and got to talking, and I stuck Jesse's letter in my inside coat pocket and forgot all about it. Yeah, and I remember I had on my plaid suit, too. It was a warm afternoon in August.
I know you don't think much of poor Bessie's rotten little letters, but I never realized you'd go so far as to...
Hey, now, kiddo, you're not insinuating I hid Bessie's letter on purpose.
Not at all.
Anybody's liable to do that.
August 1937.
Anybody's liable to stick something in their pocket and forget it.
I'm
sure. Look at Uncle Fletcher. Why, George, he forgets to put on his necktie half the time. The other day,
you
he
won't tell Aunt Bess about this, will you, Rush?
Tell her about what?
Your father and what he thinks of her letters.
Uh-uh.
I wish you wouldn't. Just watch your step and never let on.
Okay.
Well, Pepsi, you act like I've committed some monstrous crime.
It's all right.
Holy smoke, there's nothing important in the half-wit letter, is there?
None of the half-wit letters my sister writes are important.
Well, my gosh, if I'd been hot throttling some poor
it's
old lady...
It's all right. Forget it.
Mm.
Just one thing, though, I hope she never finds out. Don't you ever let on, Rush.
You think Aunt Bess would be mad if she knew Gov had accidentally put a letter in his coat pocket and forgot it?
Oh, no. Aunt Bess don't get mad.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I'll step over to like knee suffers and see if he feels like a little indoor horseshoe.
I'll go along.
You supposed to be studying?
I'm all through.
Oh, okay. Get your hat.
Here's what poor Bessie has to say in her little good-for-nothing letter.
Mm-hmm.
A little good-for-nothing letter. She almost broke her back writing almost 4 years ago that people never even bothered to open.
Of course I never opened it. I don't open mail addressed to other parties. That letter's addressed to you.
Here's what she says.
Mm-hmm.
Carberry, Illinois. August 9th, 1937.
Hmm?
August 9th, 1937.
Oh, suddenly you think I'd bit my grandmother's ear off.
I read in the paper where a guy done that. A guy in North Dakota. Paper stated he was a quick-tempered guy, and his grandmother made him mad by refusing to shovel some coal in the cook stove.
I think your mother wants to read, George.
Dear sister and all, thought I would write and see how you are feeling. I hope nobody ever tells Aunt Bess about you either, Rush.
Uh-huh.
Break her heart.
Uh-huh.
We are all well, and Walter's kneecap has let up on the twinges. Hasn't the weather been hot, though? We almost sweltered last week. The thermometer's been around 90 even in the evening. So Rush is 11 years old now. I bet he feels quite the grown-up man. What is it?
I'm 14.
This was written in the year 1937. August 9th, 1937.
Why, kiddo, I haven't murdered anybody.
Mr. Geiger up the street has taken to going barefooted these terrible hot days. He often asks after you, by the way. He says, how is your good-looking sister? Ha, ha.
What's that last?
Ha, ha. It's a little laugh.
Huh?
In parenthesis.
Huh?
How is your good-looking sister? Ha, ha.
Huh?
People in around Carberry here think there might be a war in Europe. Certainly hope not. I suppose Rush is enjoying his summer vacation. He'll be in the seventh grade, won't he, when he goes back to school?
Cut out the feeble-minded tittering, Sam. I want to hear Aunt Bess's interesting letter. I want to listen to you giggle and guffaw. Continue, kiddo. I'll see that he behaves himself.
Yuncy has started taking piano lessons at last. Poor little tyke. Her hands are too small to stretch an octave. Miss Agnes Peterson is her teacher. I don't know whether you remember Agnes or not. You met her at church one Sunday, but you met so many folks, probably they're mixed up in your mind. Anyway, she's considered quite a good piano teacher. She only has the one leg, so when she plays a piece, she puts a flat iron on the loud pedal. How is Victor? I hope it's cool in his office. Lands, I've never seen it so hot. Well, Ed Rackerman got the job he was after in Dubuque.
Dead, isn't it?
What?
Ain't Ed Rackerman dead?
I don't know Ed Rackerman.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of Joe Rackerman. Yeah, yes, I am. Joe Rackerman.
I know a Pete Rackerman. Not bright. Say hello to him and he goes...
Well, Ed Rackerman got the job he was after in Dubuque. Supposed to pay very good money. He and his family move away from Carberry the first of the week. How is Victor's sore foot? Uh-huh.
Sore foot?
What?
Sore foot?
Yes.
I don't remember having any sore foot.
This was in 1937.
Yeah, I don't remember having any sore foot in 1937.
I expect Bessie tells fibs.
Why does she tuck ha-ha in there?
Got no better sense, I guess.
No, but there's nothing funny about a guy having a sore foot.
Bessie's mean.
Oh, say.
The reason I didn't answer your last nice letter sooner was because Walter carried it around in his coat pocket several days.
There you are. Other guys accidentally forget stuff.
Seems he took it out of the mailbox and stuck it in his pocket and never remembered he had it.
Sure.
I can't get it in my head. The year 1937 is half over. Reminds me how old I'm getting. Ha ha.
Ha ha. Quiet, Rush.
Just think. That little scalawag of a Rush is 11.
Uh-huh.
Well, mate, I guess I've done enough chattering. Sit down and write me a long letter real soon. And in the meantime, try to keep cool. Love to all. Bess.
A very nice letter.
Aye.
A very, very nice letter.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom Hackerman moves to Dubuque next week, does he?
Ed Rackerman.
Yeah, Ed Rackerman. Moves to Dubuque. Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoy hearing the news from Carberry. Bess writes a darn interesting letter.
August 9th, 1937. Mm. August
9th, 1937. Which concludes another brief interlude, the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Save until the next time. You know, when it comes to making cakes, I don't have to tell you that one promise of a tempting, delicious cake is a satin-smooth cake batter. And that's one of the benefits you get with New Sure Mix Crisco. Yes, ma'am, Crisco gives you a smoother batter than you ever dreamed possible. And boy, what that batter can do for your cakes. Why, recently, hundreds of housewives from Toronto to Los Angeles tested Crisco in their own kitchens. Cakes made with Crisco were compared to those made with every other type of shortening. And when these women asked their families which cakes they liked best, the vote was 4-1 for cakes made with Crisco over all the other shortenings combined. Those families said Crisco cakes were lighter and tasted better. So order Crisco today. And remember, it wasn't only 4-1 for lighter cakes, but 4-1 for flakier pastry. 4-1 for better tasting fried foods. That was the family vote. 4-1 for New Sure Mix Crisco. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Save the next time. This is Mel Allen speaking.